Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this evening. I hope everyone has enjoyed this beautiful day. It's a little bit on the cool side maybe for some, but it's absolutely a beautiful day. And just to be able to enjoy the creation that God has given us and the ability that we have as His creation to enjoy that. We oftentimes look at things and it's never quite exactly what we want. The sun's too bright, the sun's not out, too wet, too dry, things of that nature. God has given us everything that we need in its season, and we need to look at these things and enjoy that. One of the great and wonderful things that we have, apart from the creation that God has given us, is the time that we can come together with brothers and sisters in Christ. When we look at the church in the New Testament and look at the way that they went about their lives, they had a great love and concern for one another. They spent a great amount of time with one another. And we can see that because of the amount of time that they spent with one another, the love that they had for one another, that they were such a close-knit group that people noticed that. They saw these things and it caused them to wonder. And it caused them to want to be a part of this thing that they found, this newfound thing, the church. And I wonder sometimes if perhaps the reason we don't have any more success in preaching and teaching the gospel is because we don't follow in the things that we see in the New Testament, the first century church, and the time that they spent with one another. And you can really see that evident, as we noted this morning, and the lack of some Christians in their desire to attend the services of local church. It seems sometimes they look for just any excuse that they can find that will make their conscience feel okay in allowing them to miss the worship services. And so this morning we began looking at why the faithful Christian attends every service. And when I say every service, I mean every service that they're able to. Once again, we understand that there are times where we are hindered, whether it be from work or sickness, things of that nature. But when we look at the faithful Christian, he or she is going to do everything that they can to be present at every worship service that they're possible able to be at. And so we noted this morning a couple of things that we could really look at as blessings that we have in coming together. We noted first and foremost that commands are fulfilled. We have been given a responsibility to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the one who attends faithfully, make sure that he doesn't forsake that assembly. Make sure that he keeps that command. We also notice that it's a way that he can grow and develop spiritually. We wouldn't think very much of a child who just sat in a room and spent all of his time alone and never socialized with other individuals, never grew up, never really moved out of that little small niche that he was in. We would think that would be a very immature individual. No matter how old he is, he would still remain in that same immature state. And the same is true when we look at the world. If we just lock ourselves away in the world and we don't allow ourselves to associate with other Christians, we're not going to grow and develop as spiritually as much as God would have us to. And so when we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's an opportunity for us to grow and to develop, to increase in our talents. You can't, as we noted this morning, increase in your talent in leading singing and reading in prayer, reading the scripture, leading in prayer, preaching and teaching Bible classes. You just can't do that on your own. Now you can practice many of these things at home, but, until you put that practice into the effort of doing it before an audience, you really are not increasing any. We also noted that it's necessary for the church to function properly for all of its members to be present. You know, you have a responsibility in this local congregation. You may think, well, I'm not one of the men, therefore I can't be an elder, I can't take part in the business meetings, I can't take part in the leadership of the local church. But you know what? We're men, aren't we? And we tend to make mistakes. Man, how many times has your wife pointed out something that maybe you're not doing right, or maybe you're driving along and she's like, wasn't we supposed to turn on that road there? I'm not even going to say how many times that was said. I think that's where we were supposed to go on this last trip. No, we need y'all to help us in making sure that things are going right. And so it's necessary for everyone to attend as much as possible so the church can function properly. We also know that it helps us to provide a good example, a good influence towards those that are around us. And we also noted as we close our lesson that it is a way of us holding fast our allegiance to God, our profession, holding on to that hope that we have in God. Well, this evening we want to look at just a few more things that perhaps we can be helpful in us when we're looking at whether or not we're going to go to church. We're tired. There's the ball game on, whatever. Maybe we can look at some of these things and realize that it's a better thing, no matter what the world is offering. It is always a better thing to come into worship with the saints. And so as we continue our lesson, we note that the one who attends the services faithfully, who attends every service, they are one who is putting Christ and His kingdom first in their lives. We don't really like to think about it this way. We think, well, I put Christ first. There's just some other things that I think I want to do. I'd like to take a part in, and occasionally they conflict with the worship services. I'm not putting them before God. Well, just think about that for just a moment. When you have a responsibility in a local congregation, when you place membership in a local congregation, they expect you to be there. They depend on you to be there. You're there to encourage and to edify one another. And when you put something else before the worship services, you're putting them before Jesus Christ. Jesus said very clearly in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 33, He said, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He doesn't say put it second. He doesn't say seek it while it's convenient. Just put His kingdom and His righteousness first. Put it before everything else in your life. You see, this is part of what Paul is talking about when he says in Colossians chapter 3, there beginning in verse 1, that if we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. What on this earth can bring us closer to Jesus Christ than coming together with others of like precious faith and spending time in singing songs of praise to God, reading from His Word, studying from His Word? If that ain't the closest thing to heaven, if that's not seeking those things which are above, what on earth is? Coming together in the local worship services of the local congregation is the absolute closest thing to heaven we can find. When you look in the book of Revelation, how is it pictured there in heaven around the throne? They're singing praises to God. They're worshiping God. And that's what we're doing when we come together. As we see, He says, you keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, it's wrong. Absolutely, I believe, wrong for someone to stay home on a Sunday because they have a few aches and pains and then get up that Monday with those very same aches and pains and go on to work.
Amen.
You know what you're saying? You're saying my job is more important than God. When you allow things to keep you from serving Christ and coming together in the local worship services that you won't allow to keep you from going to the mall or going to the movies or going to work, you're putting those things above God. And you are in no way seeking first Jesus Christ and His righteousness. You're not seeking the things that are above. In Luke chapter 14, there in verse 26, Jesus says that if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, look at what he says. He cannot be My disciple. Now we look at that and think, well, that's just a horrible thing to say. You're saying I have to love you more than I love my wife. I have to love you more than I love my kids. I have to hate my wife and kids and be only devoted to You. How many times has someone said, well, we were going to be there, but my sister came into town and, well, we didn't want to leave them at the house by themselves, and so we stayed home with them. What are they doing? They're putting family before God. Jesus said, if you come to Me and you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, whatever, if you don't put them after Me, if you put them before Me, you cannot be My disciple. In Matthew chapter 10, we see further there in verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after Me is not worthy. Now, this is exactly what Jesus was saying there in Luke chapter 14. He's not saying you have to hate, physically hate your family. The point is that we've got to love God, we've got to love Christ more than any relationship we have here on earth. Even more than our own life. And once again, when we have family come in, and we forsake the assemblies for that family member, what are we telling them? We're saying, you're more important than God. Now, is that going to encourage them and in their desire to serve the Lord? Is that going to be what God wants to see in our life? Would it not be setting a better example to say, well, we're heading out the door to church. You want to come with us? Well, no, I'm not dressed right. Oh, just come on. They won't care. Just come on and we'll worship God. And then we can socialize after we get back from church. Or if they just absolutely refuse, well, food's in the refrigerator. Beds are back over here. Shower's in there. We'll be back in about an hour and a half. Which one shows that you're devoted to God? We need to think about these things. Too many people have the attitude of, what is the least that I can do and still go to heaven? What is the least amount of services that I can attend and still be considered a faithful member? And we oftentimes look at it from the physical perspective. Well, as long as the church thinks I'm an active member, then I'm good. Oh, but you see, the local congregation is not going to be judging you on the day of judgment. See, God's judgment is a good bit more severe than the judgment of man. And we need to think about these things. We need to be putting Christ and His kingdom first. It comes before everything else. Remind yourself of that. It comes before everything else. Another reason why the faithful child of God, the faithful Christian, attends every service is because it helps him to fulfill his responsibilities, his duties to others. As fathers, we have a responsibility, we read there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now this begins in the home. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying as long as you bring your kids to church, they'll always be faithful. We can look and see way too many instances where that's not true. Just bringing them to church and making sure they go to Bible study will not make your child a faithful child of God every day for the rest of his life. It begins in the home, teaching and training them, but we increase on that in bringing them to the local services, providing them with additional opportunities to study, to be around other Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 3, there in verse 15, the Apostle Peter says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." We have a responsibility. We have a duty to mankind to make sure that we can answer their questions. One of the ways that we can prepare ourselves in answering those questions is in the local Bible classes, listening to the sermons, studying the sermons. You know, we as Christians would be a lot further along if we were more like those noble Bereans. But unfortunately, we just listen. Yeah, that sounds good. And forget, kind of like I did in school. Okay, I got to know this for the test. All right, I know when I can start deleting it from my brain. But you see, those noble Bereans, they studied the Scriptures daily to make sure that the things that they were being taught were so. And if we take the lessons that we receive from the pulpit, the lessons that we have in our Bible classes, and truly study them daily, they'll become a part of our lives so that we can fulfill that responsibility to be able to give an answer to everyone. But oftentimes you have that person who'll call you up time and time and time again, "I don't know how to answer this question." What really bothers me is when they call me up after having delivered a lesson on that very subject just a week or two before, they were present, and they obviously did not listen to a single thing that was said, and very obviously haven't studied on it any further. We have a responsibility towards those of the world to make a defense. In Hebrews chapter 3, there in verse 13, we read the author of Hebrews saying, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Encourage one another day after day. But you know, in the local church, the best encouragement we get is on Sunday morning, Sundays and Wednesdays, right? Now, we're falling a little short if we're just encouraging one another on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we're falling even shorter if we neglect our worship, we neglect our time together to encourage one another. We wonder why some are falling away. We wonder why they don't remain faithful, why they become weak in their service to God, because they're not even taking advantage of the opportunities that the local church has provided to encourage one another. You see, the faithful Christian attends every service so that they can fulfill their responsibilities to one another. Another reason why the faithful Christian attends every service is because it's bearing fruit and doing good works. That's interesting. When we look at these two passages of Scripture, in John chapter 15, there in verse 8, Jesus doesn't say just bear fruit. If you'll note there, He says bear much fruit. You don't bear much fruit just putting in a little bit of time here and there, do you? We have had a couple of gardens in the past. And the last one that we had was when we lived in Dyersburg, when Brooklyn was about Austin's age. And we ended up being gone for almost 3 weeks. We were looking for another place to preach. One of the times we came up here and tried out the first time and had tried out in Madrid, Iowa, we were gone for a large majority of that summer. I had traveled to Oregon and then we traveled to Maryland, and that garden got very little work. All the year before, it was a beautiful garden. It had bumper crops of squash and okra and tomatoes and corn. Oh, it was just beautiful. We ate, we're giving it away. But the next year, when it had very little work done in it, we put the garden in and then we're gone so much. Well, it didn't produce hardly anything. And what it did produce wasn't worth even the time to go out there. The tomatoes were rotten because they weren't cared for and picked and watched over. The corn had worms in it because I hadn't been there to keep an eye on that and to make sure that things were taken care of. You put forth just a little bit of effort, you're not going to get very much fruit. We need to think about that in our service to God. You know, how much effort do you really put in as a child of God? For many, it's just their effort to come to the local meeting place. And if you're not even meeting on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, then you are not bearing much fruit. Note there in James chapter 3 and verse 7, we see there that we are to be full of good works. Be full. Not just have a few good works here and there, but to be full of good works. Can you say that you're full of good works when you forsake the assembly for any number of reasons? When you find that Sunday night and Wednesday night is not that important to you? I'm going to tell you something. If Sunday night and Wednesday night is not that important to you, then doing good work for the Lord obviously is not very important to you. So the faithful child of God attends every worship service they can so that they can be bearing much fruit and they can be full of good works. You see, we've got to do good works ourselves. The author of Hebrews says there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 21, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Well, how does he say we are to do that? Well, we looked at that this morning there in verse 25. By not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. How do we stimulate one another to love and good deeds? How do we increase? You see, we can't rightfully exhort someone to attend the worship services regularly if we don't do it ourselves. We can't encourage one another. We can't stimulate one another to the fullest extent if we are not taking advantage of the opportunities to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe another reason why the faithful Christian attends every worship service is because they feel that it is part of being ready, being watching and waiting on the Lord. I'm sure you have heard it a number of times from the pulpit, from a number of men. What if the Lord came on Wednesday night and you weren't here? What if the Lord came on Sunday night and you had chosen for that Sunday night to be a night that you didn't feel quite like going to church and you found some reason to call and say, well, I can't be there because this is going on. You think the Lord's going to like that? In Matthew chapter 24, there in verse 44, it says, for this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Oh, the Lord's not coming tonight. I can miss Sunday evening services. Ooh, you're trying to tempt fate there. You're trying to try the Lord. The Lord's not too keen on that there, is He? We don't know when the Lord's coming. So part of being a Christian that's watching and waiting and ready for His return is one who is attending the services as faithfully as he can, wanting to be with the Lord's people when the Lord returns, not wanting to take a chance. In Matthew chapter 25, there in verse 13, Jesus said, be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour. When you sleep in on Sunday mornings and miss the Bible study, are you being on the alert? When you choose to stay home on Sunday night because you just, I'm tired, are you on the alert? When you choose to stay home on Wednesday night because you've been working hard all this time and, well, I was there Sunday morning and Sunday night and I just want to get home and this is just the only day I'm going to have this week to relax. I just want to go home and I want to relax. Are you being on the alert? But you see, the faithful Christian understands that part of being on the alert, part of being ready, part of watching for the Lord is to be present at the Lord's services. In 1 John chapter 2, there in verse 28, John writes, "Now little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence." And look at this, "we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming." Now just suppose, this is the Sunday night that you chose not to be present. Oh, the preacher preached a long time Sunday morning. I've got all my fill of Bible today. I'm going to stay at home. And then that Sunday night, the Lord returns. Are you going to be the one that's confident in your salvation? Or are you going to be shrinking away from the Lord? You know, I think about this and I think about that temptation as a child to run away from your parents when they're threatening to spank you. Boy, you do that again, I'm going to whip you. And you do it again because you're just an ignorant boy. You hadn't learned. And you think, I'll just run. He can't catch me. Oh, but He can. But you know what? There's no running from God. When the Lord returns, what do we read? Every knee shall bow. There's no shrinking away from the Lord. But you know, if you're attending the services and if you're a faithful child of God and you're present there worshiping God when He returns, I think we can approach Him with confidence. Lord, I'm ready. I've been working my whole life for this day. You see, it's part of being ready. It's part of enduring until the end. In Matthew chapter 10, there in verse 22, "You will be hated by all because of My name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Oh, but I've attended faithfully all my life. And it's just a little bit harder for me to get up and to be present there. You know, I attend all the time. I'm just a little tired. Jesus says you've got to endure, that is, remain faithful all the way to the end. Only then will you be saved. In Matthew chapter 24, there in verse 12, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." That is the one who remains faithful in their service to God. The one who attends faithfully every worship service that they possibly can. They are the ones that are enduring to the end. They are the ones that aren't allowing the love of the world to make their love for God grow cold. You see, it's part of being ready, watching, and waiting. And I think the primary reason why the faithful Christian attends every service is because he or she wants to go to heaven. Now, if we did a poll of the individuals here in this audience, I feel quite sure we would have a large majority, if not all. If you ask them, "Do you want to go to heaven?" "Yes, sir. I want to go to heaven. When the Lord returns, I want to have either died in a state where I'm among those who rise up to meet Him in the air, or if I'm still alive, I'm going to be ones that rise up after them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, sir, I want to go to heaven." God has promised that many marvelous blessings are waiting in heaven for the faithful. For those that are faithful in their service to Him, for those who are fervent in their love for Him, for those that are fervent in their work for Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, there in verse 2, "In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." We sing the song sometimes, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." Maybe we should write another song, "You've lost your mansion just over the hilltop." And when someone willfully forsakes the assembly, send it to them in a message. "You've lost your mansion just over..." That'd be kind of ugly, I imagine. But it might get the point across. You see, by choosing to allow something else to take place, by choosing to not be faithful in our service, we're saying, God, heaven's not that important to me. Oh, but we sing it in the song. Heaven holds all to me, don't we? Heaven holds all... Well, it depends on if the Steelers make it into the Super Bowl again. And well, this would be, what, number 7? And well, that's pretty important to go to the Super Bowl or to sit home and watch it. Really? So heaven holds all to you, except for the Steelers. You know, we can pick on the Steelers, but we, each and every one of us, have certain things in our life that we put in a little bit higher place than we ought to. You see, the faithful Christian attends every service because he has no desire greater than to make it to heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for him. Peter has affirmed to us that this will not fade away. We live our lives as faithful Christians to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Your name, if you're a faithful child of God, is there waiting. Your name is on that register. But you know what? You can cancel that reservation. Or your reservation has already been canceled. If you don't fulfill the responsibilities you have as a child of God. And among those responsibilities is to faithfully attend the worship services of the local church. And the faithful Christian attends every worship service because he wants to go to heaven and he's not going to let anything in this world stop him. He's not going to allow anything to hinder him from that home in heaven, that place that has been reserved. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." You withdraw your rights to enter into that city when you choose to allow other things to take precedence over your service to God. When you allow yourself to willfully forsake the assembling of the saints. When you allow something else to come before God. You see, the faithful Christian attends every service because he has no greater desire than to receive these blessings, that home that has been prepared for him. Those garments, the right to the tree of life, to enter into the city of God, where there is no need for the sun, nor moon, nor the stars, because God is the light. To be in the presence of God throughout all eternity. Well, honestly, think for just a moment. Does God want you in His presence throughout all eternity if you didn't want to be in His presence for an hour or two a week? Think about that. If you couldn't give 3 or 4 hours to God here upon this earth a week, in coming together with others of like precious faith. And remember we read this morning, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst." And if you choose not to be with him here upon this earth, not to join in fellowship with him, do you really think you've got a place reserved in heaven? And so the faithful child of God, the faithful Christian, attends every worship service they possibly can so that they can have that home in heaven reserved for them. So that they can be prepared to be with God throughout all eternity. You know, a lot of people don't like to hear about attendance. But unfortunately, it's one of the largest problems the Lord's church faces. You see it on Sunday mornings when the fellow doing the announcements is looking through and going, "Oh, I got to find a fellow to fit in here and here and here and here." Sunday night, Wednesday night, the preacher gets up and looks out and sees large gaps. And thinks, well, they weren't on the sick list. They weren't mentioned as having to work. It's a big problem. It's an individual problem. You need to be looking into your own life and asking yourself, am I truly striving to serve the Lord? If I am, then I'm going to do all that I can to be present. I'm not going to allow anything to hinder me. I'm going to tell you what I've told many, many people before. I am not the person to call and to give your excuses to. Don't call me. You talk to God. And you tell Him your excuses and see if you think He's going to allow that to wash. Just because I say, okay, I understand, that doesn't mean God says it's okay. What am I? I'm just a preacher. I have no authority whatsoever over your soul's salvation. Oh, but I had a preacher's excuse. So what? That's like a kid writing his own excuse to go to school. It don't work. I can't forge the Father's name. We need to be doing all that we can in our individual lives to live as a child of God. And one of the greatest parts of that is attending the services faithfully. Oh, if we were all like David. As David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you? Are you truly glad? Because, you know, with the looks on some people's faces, I kind of wonder sometimes. Congregations forget, I'm not that one-eyed idiot that sits in your living room and doesn't care what you look like or how you act. I see. Now, I try not to judge because you might have something else going on. But it's just kind of hard to believe that some people are happy to go to the house of the Lord when they don't choose to be there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when they don't choose to be present for Bible study, when they don't look forward to opportunity, when they don't get there early or at least get there on time, when they're habitually late. Can you imagine David here? He said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Do you see him showing up just right on time every single time or maybe coming in a little late? Someone who is truly glad to be at the house of the Lord is one who's going to get there early, give fervent service every time the doors are open, and look forward. The minute the amen is, the closing prayer is given, they're waiting on the next one. But too many people are sitting there looking at their watches going, we're in over again. That's not someone who's glad to be in the house of the Lord. Perhaps you're here. Perhaps you're not even a child of God. Then tonight is your night. Jesus Christ has extended His invitation. He says, you come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, all you've got to do is confess your belief that I am the Son of God. Repent of your sins, or you'll likewise perish, and be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. You can become a faithful child of God, and you can begin your life in faithful service to Him, in fervent service to Him. But perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you haven't been faithful in your service to God. You haven't been attending as you should. You've allowed things to get in the way. Well, I'm going to tell you personally, I just kind of have a hard time seeing how that's a private sin. It's one that has been affecting your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's one that's been discouraging them. And if it's one that you're going to repent of, you need to make sure that your brothers and sisters in Christ know you don't want to be that way anymore, that you're striving to make your life right with God. And so if you see that you've allowed the world to take precedence over your service to God, then tonight is your opportunity to repent of that sin and to be returned to faithfulness as we stand and as we sing.